We're grateful to have them with us from Pullman. And Pastor Carey is going to open up the Word of God to us this morning with something that the Lord has put on her heart specifically for us here. So let's receive Pastor Carey Vance with a real warm welcome from Grace Christian Center.
Pastor Kevin is the star, man. That's back to my roots. Big time. In fact, when we had a Bible study, it was so funny. When we had we used to have a meeting up at a place called the K House, the Koinonia House at WSU, when my parents were, gosh, that was early 70s, wasn't it? And early 70s, isn't that right? Long time ago. And I remember our worship, the way that we knew that our worship was growing and our worship team was growing is we just have another guitar. And I think that there was one time that we had seven guitars at this Bible study meeting, this meeting up on campus. And I'll tell you what, that is amazing because most, I don't know how we ever even got seven guitars to strum all at the same time, but it was crazy. And that's how I learned how to play the piano, was by watching Pastor Kevin's hands on the guitars. Oh my goodness. That's a long time ago. Well, I am just absolutely delighted and privileged to be here with you this morning. As I was thinking about it, I feel like one of the people in the New Testament who gets to commend your spirit and growth to our congregation back home. And it's so fun. I tell them about how much you've grown as a church and how proud we are of you. Just my mom brags on you, and so I brag on you to all the people back home. So we feel like we're kindred congregations. I want to talk a little bit today about just the news of today. Not that I'm going to say a lot about it, because it's amazing. How many of you still read newspapers? A few? Good. How many of you get your news off the internet, off your computer? That's, I feel like I'm really keeping up on things if I just read the little blurbs that come up over to the side. And if one looks interesting, I punch on it and read three more sentences, and I'm like, wow, I'm staying with it. And then I get this thing called CNN? I think so, news. And that's when the really big things happen. They send me one sentence. I'm going, okay, I'm staying up on it. But I don't know how many of you heard about the whole Bible study thing in San Diego, where they were saying that they weren't going to be able to have a Bible study in their home. And now the county has apologized, and they are allowed to have a Bible study in their home. But that just kind of shows us where our nation's going. And it's scary. I think it's really scary what's happening in our nation, the way things just seem to be sliding downhill fast. And I do recognize that for all of you, who live here in Port Ludlow, that might be hard to imagine that the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket, because when you look out at the water, everything seems so fine here. People used to tell us in Pullman that we lived in Disneyland and we didn't know what was going on in the rest of the world, but when you're here, it's like, who cares? Who cares what's happening every place else? Who cares? It's beautiful. Look at what God created. I'm like, no, I don't know if it's really fair for you to get to live here. It is so beautiful. But as I thought about what I wanted to talk to you about, I thought, well, let's talk about end times, because I think we're getting closer and closer. I'd love to come and tell you what lies ahead, but really none of us know that for sure. I remember thinking Jesus was coming back in 1974, and that was a long time ago. We used to have yard signs. I remember, not just us, but people, the Charismatic Renewal, there were yard signs that said, vote for Jesus in 74. Do you remember those? Those big yard signs, and we're like, Jesus is coming back. We didn't even care who was in the election that year, because Jesus was coming back in 74. Well, 74 has come, and 74 has gone, and here we are, and who would have thought, 2009, but here we are. And the yard signs of 1974 are long gone. So I guess we'll have to stay with what we know for sure about end times. And what we know for sure is what we're going to be doing here and beyond. And it says, what lies ahead is praising God for all our days, here on earth and beyond. And in Psalm 146, verse 2, it says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God as long as I exist. So that's one thing we know for sure that we're going to be doing, is we're going to be praising God here on earth as long as we are alive. And then in Psalm 115:18, but we will praise the Lord now and forevermore. So even beyond our life here, forevermore we're going to be praising the Lord. So that's one thing that we know for sure about the end times, is that we're going to be praising the Lord. So I want to look a little deeper at the power of praise. Two main areas that I'm going to address this morning are praising the Lord and praising one another. Now, it seems funny that those could even be the same word. So for all your visual learners, like my mom, just think of praising the Lord with a capital P. You know, that's big praise. That's praising the Lord. And think of praising one another with a small p, okay? So we can kind of separate them. Definition of praise, expression of approval, commendation, or admiration. And number two, the extolling or exaltation of a deity, ruler, or hero. From the Latin, to prize. And I like that. You think of when we worship God, he's our prize. He's the thing. We've won. We've won because we have the Lord. He is our prize. He is, and the price that he paid. It also has the word price in there, which he paid a price, really, to be our prize. The second definition, the extolling or exaltation of a deity. Praise the Lord. That's what we get to do with our lives, with everything in us. This is all over in the scripture, and I'm just going to share a few places. Psalm 148, 1, praise the Lord from the sky, praise him in the heavens. Psalm 113, 1, praise the Lord, praise you servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. 146, 1, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Sometimes we need to tell our souls, praise the Lord, don't we? When we don't want to, we just need to tell it what to do. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. 135, 1, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, offer praise you servants of the Lord. It's just commanded all over Scripture. 156, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that pretty much means all of us. If we're still breathing, we need to be praising the Lord. He is so worthy of all of our praise and all of our adoration. It'll take us all of eternity to shower him with praise. Without a doubt, it's a huge job, and we have all of eternity to do it, to shower him with praise. And, you know, it's not that he needs our praise. It's that he loves our praise. He loves us to praise him in everything that we do. And it's hard because sometimes we're going through pain, we're going through hard situations, but still, we need to be able to praise the Lord. Well, let's look at praise to one another and where that fits in. For the purpose of this sharing, I'm going to break this praise to one another because it's about how we edify one another and encourage one another in the way. I'm going to break it into three parts, encouragement, cheering, and praise. I see it as this, encouragement. It's kind of for the future. When you look at somebody and say, you can do it. You can do it. Cheering, I see as kind of in the present. You've got it. You've got it. Okay, keep going. You've got it. And praise is kind of like what happened in the past. Nice job when you praise somebody for something that they've done. Encouragement, you can do it. If you, in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, therefore encourage one another with these words. And in Deuteronomy, my mom loved Joshua. I don't know if you know that, but she loves Joshua in the Bible. However, Joshua, son of Nun, your assistant, will go. Encourage him because he will enable Israel to inherit the land. You know, when we encourage one another, we encourage each other to take the land in our lives. When we encourage one another, we're going to possess an inheritance. But we need that encouragement because a lot of times we'll sit in our inheritance. We'll be in the Lord will be right in front of us, but we won't grasp it because we're just too depressed to get up and go for it. So we need that encouragement to take the land and to inherit what the Lord has for us. In Deuteronomy 3:28, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him because he will lead these people over and will enable them to inherit the land you see. Think of an area in your life where you need encouragement. You know, I was reading a story, gosh, I should have brought it with me, about 60 years ago, there was this woman who was overweight, and she needed to lose a lot of weight, so she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her she needed to lose 60 or 80 pounds and gave her a diet, and she went home, and she just could not do it. She just could not do it. She was so depressed. She was supposed to lose all this weight for health. She couldn't do it. So she took this, so finally she took this diet, and she found six of her friends who were all overweight, invited them over to her house, and said, let's do this together. Gave them copies of the diet. They shared about their troubles, and they all went through it together. And now, 60 years later, it's Weight Watchers. You know, why? Because she couldn't take the land that she needed to on her own. She needed friends to encourage her. She couldn't do it alone. So she got friends together. They talked about it, and now, my goodness, think of all the pounds lost, and some regained and lost again, by Weight Watchers. Isaiah 41:7, I love this scripture. The craftsman encourages the metalsmith. The one who wields the hammer encourages the one who pounds on the anvil. He approves the quality of the welding and nails it down so it won't fall over. We each need each other. You might be the one that wields the hammer, or you might be the one that melts the metal or heats it in the fire, but we all need to encourage one another to make things come to pass in our spiritual walk. In the Greek, encourage is parakaleo, Strong's 3870. Kind of recognize that from the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the comforter. Encourage, and it means to call to one side, to summon, to address, to console, to comfort. I thought, you know, we are, sometimes we're so needy, but we're so afraid to ask for help. And sometimes we just need to summon somebody to our side and say, please, come to my side and encourage me because I'm feeling down right now or I'm in pain right now. And what happens when you summon somebody to your side and they comfort you? What happens? All of a sudden the problem doesn't seem quite as big as it did 10 minutes ago. Why? Because the burden gets shared. And when the burden gets shared, it feels a little bit lighter. The problem really didn't change. It's just the same. But because you summon somebody to your side, it feels lighter. Such a difference. We need one another. We are to comfort each other and not be afraid to call to our side a sister or brother in Christ for encouragement. Love this little poem here. Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you. And that is so true. I mean, when you think back about it, think of all the negative things that somebody has said to you. I was talking to a gal recently and she said, my eighth grade choir teacher told me I couldn't sing. And I listened to her sing and I said, you know what? You can sing. She has robbed you of years of your life because she told you you couldn't sing. Don't listen to her. She was wrong. Now you're an adult. You're full of worship to God. Let it out of your heart. Open up your voice and sing. Besides that, the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. So we can all do that. We don't need to be able to sing. That's one thing. I don't know how many of you have heard my dad sing. He is just improved so much over the years. But he used to say, I can't sing. But I'll tell you what, there's just nobody in our church who had a bigger heart for worship than my dad. But it wasn't because he's got the voice of Catania's husband, Tommy, who is just, oh my gosh, amazing. That's so funny, I was thinking about that tonight. Suzanne's husband, Joe, sings. Catania's husband, Tommy, sings. Cassie's husband, Dan, sings just a little bit, you know, and here all their wives are singing, but they did great this morning. I was proud of them. But that's not what they normally do, so they did awesome. Anyway, how exciting, you know, to be able to encourage one another. And we need that. And to have somebody rob somebody because of a negative thing. Think of how many lives you can change by saying something positive. We need that. Our society is so negative. And we need to speak positive things into one another's lives.
Good.
Cheering, number two. You got this. Where's Kaylee? Kaylee? Oh, right now? Right when I need her? Okay, well, we'll come back to that. Okay, so I'm going to be, once you know it, she sat over there. Her mom left, her sister left, but Kaylee sat right there until I looked up. Okay, well, I'm going to come back to that point then. We'll go on. Okay, praise. Praise is when you say, you did it. Wow, that was amazing. Suzanne just potty trained Anna, and she just, stellar. I don't know if it's the curls or what, but man, she just came through it with 1 week. She was potty trained, no accidents. She did amazing. But what do you think that her mom did a lot of? Praised her. She goes, look at this little doll. This little doll came from because she went potty in the potty chair, and this little doll because of this. You know, and I'm like, good job. She was praised. We praise my mom after she cooks for us. I don't know how many of you have eaten my mom's cooking, but it's like, that was awesome. Can we have thirds? Everybody, we're just eating everything. We're just like, her food's awesome. It's very easy to praise her after she's cooked a meal for us. Kaylee, you're back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, so cheering. I was saying cheering's in the present. Cheering is when you say, you've got this. You can do it. You've got it. So when you're at a softball game, Kaylee, what do you do for Grandpa when he's up to bat? What do you yell at him? What do you yell at him? Say it really loud. And then what do you say when Creighton's up to bat? What do you yell? Go, Creighton! Say it really loud. And then what do you do when Christian's up to bat? Loud. Say it really loud. She yells so loud. I mean, this is a little shy because she doesn't know all of you, but I'm telling you what, she's just like, go, Grandpa! And everyone in the stands is quiet, and there's this little tiny voice just yelling, go, Grandpa! It's really fun because then I yell, go, Grandpa! I'm like, he's the oldest guy on the team, and all season long, they've only lost one game. They're doing really well, but what? Do you like cheering for your grandpa? And then when he gets to the base, after he runs to the base, what do you say? Good job, remember? You say, good job, Grandpa. She cheers him on. You know what? In life, we need somebody, we need each other to cheer ourselves on.
Amen.
Good job. My mom goes, there are 13 people who read through the Bible in a year last year at our church. And she brags on you, and I'm like, way to go. But during the year, usually about July or August, you need somebody to cheer you on. I say, you can do it. Keep going. You can do it. We need to be cheered on. Okay, now back to praise. So we're kind of going through these because we had to accommodate my granddaughter. All right. So praise after somebody's done something. Mom's cooking is amazing, absolutely amazing. The Duke of Wellington, the British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, was not an easy man to serve under. He was brilliant, demanding, and not one to shower his subordinates with compliments. Yet even Wellington realized that his methods left something to be desired. In his old age, a young lady asked him, what, if anything, would he do differently if he had his life to live over again? Wellington thought for a moment, then replied, I'd give more praise, he said. I thought, wow, here's a man who did great things. He was a military leader, and he was hard to serve under, and I'm sure he did a great job. But when he looked back over his whole life, he thought, I'd give more praise. And I thought about that. I thought about how much praise I give to those around me. Do I encourage them enough? Do I praise them? When I'm at my deathbed, am I going to look back and wish that I'd given more praise? Why do we withhold praise from others? You know, that's kind of one of those, let's just move on. We don't want to stop and talk about that. Why do we withhold praise? We've all done it. You know, we could give an encouragement, but we don't. We could praise something, but we don't. Why? Why do we withhold praise? Does anyone think of anything? Insecurity?
Yeah.
Insecurity is a big one. If you're too insecure in who you are, you don't want to praise somebody else because somehow that makes you feel less than. So silly, because it's better to give than to receive. And if you give praise, you'll actually feel better because God's using you than to withhold it. But so many times we lose out on giving praise to others because we're insecure. Pride. Sometimes pride can stop us from giving praise to others. Selfishness. Sometimes we're just thinking about ourselves and we don't even realize what those around us have done. I'll tell you what, when these little girls or boys get potty trained, you can't be thinking about yourself. When they do it right, you need to praise them, that they need that encouragement. So we can't be selfish and just caught up in what we're doing. We have to spend time training them. That's what you have when you have 6 kids here under the age of 4. We're kind of into that. Do you need to go potty? That's what we say. Like every tenth thing out of everyone's mouth. Do you need to go potty? Okay. Competition. Sometimes a spirit of competition and comparison can hold us back from giving praise to others. How silly those things are. Insecurity, pride, selfishness, competition. Let's not let those things take root in our heart. Instead, let's be encouragers of one another. You have no idea how much your encouragement, cheering for, and praise can impact someone else's life. It can influence their attitudes and their actions. Love this little story. One morning, I opened the door to get the newspaper and was surprised to see a strange little dog with our paper in his mouth. Delighted with his unexpected delivery service, I fed him some treats. The following morning, I was horrified to see the same dog sitting in front of our door, wagging his tail, surrounded by 8 newspapers. Just look at the impact that encouragement had on that dog. I spent the rest of that morning returning the papers to their owners. Love that. Just imagine Pastor Kevin when he takes those 2 little dogs. For those who don't know, he's got 2 little dogs. When he takes those 2 little dogs outside, and when they are successful at doing what they're supposed to do, when he takes them outside, just think of how much praise he bestows upon them. I bet when they do their thing and you just like, yes, you praise them. He praises them. Why? With the hopes that they'll do that again next time. That's right. How much more should we praise one another? I mean, if we praise our animals for what they do right, we should praise one another. And it will encourage us to continue to do what pleases God and what blesses other people. Okay, for just a minute here, I want you to turn to the person next to you. Everybody find somebody next to them. And we're going to do a little praise lab. So turn to the person next to you and praise them for something about them or something that they've done well. Something that you can think of to praise the other person for. Okay? I want to praise you for all your work at the Union Gospel Mission over the years. I just think that's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you. Okay, is there anybody who didn't get somebody to say something? Does everybody get a little praise? How's that make you feel? Does it make you smile inside? It's nice, isn't it? Very nice. Okay, why is this even important to discuss? What does this have to do with end times? How does this tie in with end times? Okay, when we think of what lies ahead, how does this fit in? So I want us to take a little walk through 1 Thessalonians 5. And if you want to, you can turn there in your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, the whole chapter. Okay, won't take long. I just am going to read the chapter and give you 20 points, but it won't take long, I promise. Okay, the day of the Lord. Verse 1. Now on the topic of times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written to you. What? Why would we be... What? We would really like to know when you are returning, Lord. Why does he say we don't need anything to be written to us? 2. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come in the same way as a thief in the night. Now how many times have we read that scripture about a thief in the night? And what do you picture? I don't know what I picture. I picture somebody quietly coming in the door, taking something and leaving, and you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, a thief came in the night. That's sort of how I've always pictured it, okay? The other day, I had some problems with my back. So a few years ago, I bought on Craigslist a hot tub, put it out on our deck. So, and I try and kind of relax a little bit before I go to bed to kind of keep the pain in check, you know, cheaper than some of an MRI kind of a thing was my thinking. Well, I was out in the hot tub the other night just relaxing. Few minutes before I went to bed, and all of a sudden, I heard this is probably 1:15, okay, it was sort of late. I heard scuffling, our deck is here, and then around the side of the house over here is our driveway. I heard scuffling out in our driveway. I'm going, oh my gosh, who's out there? And I'm kind of scared, everybody else is in bed. I kind of push the lid up a little further, look around the corner, I see camera flash. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody's in our driveway and I just saw a flash. Okay, this is really freaking me out. The adrenaline starts pumping. I sneak out of the hot tub, sneak back into the house, and I go, somebody's out there. I know somebody's out there. Flip on the outside light switch, which of course, at this moment in time, we have two on the outside of our house, and the one closest to where the people are is burned out. But I thought, well, I'll try and scare him. Flip on the lid, the light comes on, and I see like three shadows. So now I know it's not even just one person. I see like three shadows in our driveway. And a couple more camera flashes, and I peeked out the laundry room window to try and see what was going on. And I'll tell you what, I was just, my heart was pounding. I had no idea what was going on. And then when I looked out the window, I saw that my 17-year-old son's pickup truck was covered in toilet paper. So I'm like, okay, we have at least three culprits who have been toilet papering my son's car and then taking pictures of it. I'm going, oh, brother. But I'll tell you what happened inside of me, so much for my relaxing, unwinding time. I was now wide awake. The adrenaline was pumping through me, so I'm like, okay, I'll go inside and work on my message. But I'll tell you what, it made me really think about this thief in the night concept. Because when I thought there was a thief or something going on, I was wide awake. The adrenaline was pumping through me. And I thought, just maybe when it says he'll come as a thief in the night, it will wake us up out of our slumber. Our adrenaline will pump. And either if we were ready, we'll be ready. And if we weren't, it's already too late. And the pickup truck's been toilet papered. I'm serious. I'm serious. If we're ready, then we're ready. But if we're not ready, it's over. The damage has been done, and it's too late. And it gave me a whole other picture of what it means to have the Lord come as a thief in the night. Now, back to verse 3. Now, when they are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction comes from them, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will surely not escape. Cassie was telling me, her baby's 5 weeks old. She goes, I had a different picture of what labor was going to be like. She said, I had this picture of birthing this baby, and Dan and I both crying, and it would be such this euphoric kind of experience. That's not what she went through. After pushing for a long time, she's like, okay, she's out. I mean, it just wasn't exactly what she was picturing, like labor pains on a pregnant woman. And they will surely not escape. Verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness for the day. You are not in the darkness for the day to overtake you like a thief would. For you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then we must not sleep as the rest, but stay alert and sober. That is so hard. I feel like our whole society is like that. Oh, I hate to take doctrine from movies, but the Wizard of Oz, when she walks into that field of flowers and it just lulls her to sleep, she lays down, Dorothy lays down and goes to sleep. That's what I feel like our society does. As Christians, we just get lulled to sleep. It's so hard to stay alert and sober and think about the return of the Lord. But we need to keep ourselves ready and alert and sober and stir ourselves up so that we can keep our most holy faith. Tough. It's tough to do. How do we stay alert and sober? Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we are of the day, we must stay sober by putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, our hope for salvation. For God did not destine us for wrath, but for gaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are alert or asleep, we will come to life together with Him. Okay, so now comes the instructions on what we're supposed to do in the interim. Verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, just as you are in fact doing. And our final instructions, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who labor among you and preside over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them most highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the undisciplined, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, and be patient toward all. See that no one pays back evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Always rejoice, constantly pray, and everything give thanks, for this is the will, God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not extinguish the Spirit. And that's nice this morning, Pastor Kev. You give time for the Spirit to brood among you. That's wonderful. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but examine all things. Hold fast to what is good. Stay away from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself make you completely holy, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept entirely blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is trustworthy, and he, in fact, will do this. Brothers and sisters, pray for us too. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I call on you solemnly in the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Okay, quite a scripture. Let's make a list of what we were just told to do. We're given 20 points right here for preparing on the end times. For preparing for the end times. Number one, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Playing darts, listen to the story. Everyone needs recognition for his accomplishments, but few people make the need known quite as clearly. Remember when I said summon somebody to encourage you? Quite as clearly as the little boy who said to his father, let's play darts. I'll throw, and you say wonderful. I thought, that's what we need to do sometimes. I'll live for Christ, and you say wonderful. Good job. Okay, I'm going to go spend some time in the Word and hear from the Lord, and you say, wonderful, good job. 2, acknowledge those who labor among you and preside over you in the Lord and admonish you. I read this, I thought, when was the last time somebody admonished me? That's not something we really look forward to, but it tells us here too. Esteem them most highly in love because of their work. 3, you know, this is really important for you to know those who minister among you and to treat them right. And I know you guys have some awesome ministers in this congregation, and to esteem them highly and thank them for their work in the Lord, because it is a weight, and they do it very well here. Number 4, be at peace among yourselves. I wondered if this yourselves is, you know, as they speak it, is it plural, meaning be at peace with one another, or is it singular, be at peace with yourself? I thought, sometimes that's hard. Being at peace with yourself is difficult. Once I ministered to somebody who was never at peace with where they were at. It was so interesting. They wanted so bad to go somewhere. And when they got there, the whole time, they whined about wishing they were back home because they missed somebody. And then when they got back home, they wished that they were at the place where they'd just come from. And finally, I had to sit them down and just go, look at you. You're never at peace with yourself. Just be happy where you're at. You know, if you're finally on vacation, then enjoy it. And then when vacation's over and you're home, be glad that you're at home and enjoy where you're at. Be at peace with yourself. Because they were robbing themselves on vacation because they missed people, and they were robbing themselves at home because they wished they were someplace else. And we need to just be at peace with ourselves in where God has us. Okay, number 5, admonish the undisciplined. That's one of the instructions. I thought, well, that's a pretty gutsy move. Not so popular in our politically correct society to admonish the undisciplined. 6, comfort the discouraged. We all need comfort when we get discouraged. We've all been there. It's easy to talk about when you're not discouraged, but when you are discouraged, we all need comfort. 7, help the weak. 8, be patient towards all. Even that person who really gets on your nerves, do we have to be patient to that person who really gets on our nerves? Yep, be patient toward all. 9, see that no one pays back evil for evil to anyone. 10, always pursue what is good for one another and for all. 11, always rejoice. Well, that's a powerful way to handle situations. I have not known many people who can do that, who can always rejoice in every situation. It's so hard when you just feel weighed down with what's going on. But if we can dig really deep and rejoice, it will make it better for sure. 12, constantly pray. I think we all have room to improve there. 13, in everything give thanks. 14, do not extinguish the spirit. 15, do not treat prophecies with contempt. 16, examine all things. 17, hold fast to what is good. 8, stay away from every form of evil. And it's everywhere you turn these days. It's tough, man. I've got a 17-year-old right now is our youngest, and then the other two are married, and I'm so glad because I wouldn't even want to be starting with a 13-year-old right now. There's evil everywhere, on the TV, on the internet, in books, we have one family in our church, no kidding, one family in our church with 9 kids, very godly. He works for CBN, Christian Broadcasting, and is like a regional rep in our area and about like for 5 or 6 states and does a lot of travel and stuff. One of their daughters, without their parents' permission, read the book Twilight, which is about a young gal, I guess, having a romance with a werewolf. They said that her reading that book totally changed her spirit, brought a spirit of the occult into their home. I mean, they came to us just desperate for help. What do we do? She's read it without our permission. The series, it's like 4 books or something. Read it, and it has changed our daughter and opened her up to a spirit of rebelliousness. Wow. What do we do? Wow. And I look at that, and I go, when it says here, stay away from every form of evil, we have a battle of principalities and powers going on around us. And that is a strong instruction to stay away from evil, and we need to guard one another and encourage one another and help one another. And as my parents used to say, celebrate the victories. When you make a choice to stay away from evil, you need to celebrate the victories and not be afraid sometimes to praise yourself by the grace of God and to say, I made a right choice this time. I stayed away from every form of evil. 19, pray for us too. 20, greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, well, when I look at that list of 20 things, that gives me enough to do until the Lord returns. What about you? So that's what I think we need to do to prepare for end times, is to do that list and to keep practicing them and to encourage one another. So in conclusion, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 in the Message Bible, the Message Bible, which my mother loves. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep doing it. There is so much power in praise. Praise to the Lord our God and praise to one another. We need to continually encourage every member of the body of Christ, even so much more so as the day approaches. Amen.